we do, it should be an act of worship to Him, but also about how we want to take time to make deliberate decisions to be in strategic ministry, serving the kingdom. And tonight we're going to kind of continue with that. So if you picked up, we've got a theme of T's going through there. So we're going to talk about talents tonight. But I want to tweak that a little bit. As I was preparing this, I felt like the word talent can get a little bit skewed, because often what we think about when we think about our people's talents are those kind of shining abilities, the things that stand out over the top of everything else. And I want to push us further to think about the fact that all our abilities can be used for God. So that's what we're going to look at tonight. We're going to look at a passage in Matthew. So if you want to open up your Bibles to Matthew. Now, I've written a chapter down here, but looking in my Bible, that is not the chapter. So chapter 25 is where we're at. Matthew chapter 25. Now, we're not actually going to have someone read out the Bible formally tonight. We're actually going to go through this together. So you might want to stay open there. Matthew chapter 25. We're going to start in verse 14. Now, what has been happening is Jesus has been talking about the end. He's been saying there's going to come a time where this world is going to end. And he says, keep watch. And then he starts to tell these stories, these parables, over what watch looks like, right? And what he ends up saying a little bit is, keeping watch and waiting, it's not like waiting in a doctor's surgery. You know, when you go to a doctor's surgery, that kind of waiting, it's sitting on a chair, you find the nearest magazine that has nothing of interest to you in it, and you try to look interested so you don't need to make eye contact with other people who are waiting, and you kind of flip through this thing. It's not that kind of waiting that Jesus is talking about. It's more the kind of waiting when someone, like a boss, gives you a task and goes away, and you're waiting for them to come back, and you've got this task at hand. That's a little bit more how Jesus describes it, and that's what we see in this story tonight. It's the kind of waiting where you're going to keep busy while you're waiting. And so he's telling what waiting is going to be like. So verse 14 there, he says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. Okay, so he tells this story about a man who is going away. Now we immediately see a connection there, because we know that Jesus is going to ascend into heaven. We know that there's kind of be this waiting period with him promising to return. So we see a connection there with this man that it started talking about, and Jesus. Okay, it goes on. So he's going away, he gets his servants, he entrusts his property to them. Verse 15, to one he gave 5 talents of money. Okay, now talents are a way of measuring. So I know I've already talked about talents as an ability. Talents here is talking about a way of measuring. In fact, if you're following along like on a phone app, or you've got the new NIV, it actually has translated that to bags of gold, okay? So he has given him 5 bags of gold. Now, a talent is a way of measuring these bags of gold kind of by weight, okay? And it's a bit hard to know exactly what that would, how much money that would be, one talent, because different empires around the time used the word talent to refer to different amounts. But all of them kind of talk about this amount. 1 talent is more than a year's wages. That generally seems to be the case. So this first man has been given 5 talents, right? That's a significant amount of money. He's been given 5 talents. Now, I'm going to keep reading from the new NIV. The only difference is it says bags of gold instead of talents. So so in the new NIV, it says, to one he gave 5 talents of money. To one, I'm going to read it again. Let's try moving on. To another, 2 bags, and to another, 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. Okay, so he's been giving these things out to these men. And one of the difficulties I think has happened when we think about this passage is I think the word talent can confuse us a little, because we immediately can easily jump to what we see the English word talent meaning. And I think I just want to tweak it a little bit. Rather than thinking about what he's giving them as God giving us ability, rather than applying it to us that way, what it says here is he gives them something according to their ability. Okay, so what he's giving them is not abilities. Okay, he's giving them something according to their ability. What we need to work out as we go through this is what is Jesus talking about he's giving us. Okay, so in the story he's giving them gold, but what is Jesus talking about for us according to our ability? So here's what's happening in the story. There's a man, he's obviously very wealthy, and he calls together servants. So we know he's wealthy enough to have servants. He calls them together and he starts looking at them, working out how much he can trust them with. So the first servant comes in and he looks at him, and this guy is pretty schmick, right? This guy is suited up. He's looking good. He's the kind of guy you can trust a bit of money to, right? He's the kind of guy that only needs 4 hours sleep. Not only can he touch type, but he can do it on two computers at the same time, right? This guy is the go-getter. He's the entrepreneur. He is the guy you can trust some money to. So the master looks at him. He knows this guy's trustworthy. He knows he can give him certain things. So he trusts $500,000 to him. That's how trustworthy. He's a $500,000 kind of guy. Right? Five talents. The second guy comes in, and the master looks at him, and, you know, he's just not quite a $500,000 kind of guy. Right? He's pretty good. Right? He's got calluses on his hands because he's a hard worker. He gets out in the field, he gets the job done. So he looks at him and he thinks, well, he's not a $500,000 guy. This guy is more like a $200,000 guy. So he gives him his two talents. Now, servant number three comes in a little late. Right? Says, oh, sorry. Thought you said 2 o'clock. Right? His hair's messy. His face still has the pillow folds in it. His buttons aren't quite done up right. And his hands are calloused, but for Xbox. Right? This guy shows up and he says, oh, sorry, I'm late. The boss looks up him up and down and says, well, he's clearly not a $500,000 kind of guy. And he's definitely not a $200,000 guy, but I can see some potential in him. He's got some ability. He just needs to get his act together. So the master gives him $100,000, right? These three guys are given what they're given according to their abilities. That's what we see in the story. Okay, carrying on from verse 16. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went out at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled his accounts with them. Now, just want to stop there, because this little bit here gives us a clue to what is happening. Okay? He's given them this money, but now he's come back to settle the accounts with them. That tells us that this money was not a gift. Okay? He's come back. He wants something back. Okay? Perhaps it's more like a loan. It's definitely not a gift. So he comes back. He wants something back. Going on there from verse 20. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. Okay, so this guy got the money. He was a go-getter, so he went out and invested it. He doubled his money. He's come back. He gives it to the master. What's the master's reply? The master replies, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Now, what we see here is the master clearly expected the return. Okay, so it wasn't a gift. It wasn't even a loan. It was actually an investment. The master has invested in these guys, and he wants them to do something with the money. Okay, it's clear that that's what he wanted, and when the guy comes back with money, the master doesn't kind of say, oh, no, you shouldn't have, that money's yours. He said, no, That's it. You're my servant. You've been working for me. It's mine. So the money is an investment. I think for us, that word investment might be a little bit helpful for understanding what it is Jesus wants for us in this time of waiting. Because we see for us that God wants us to invest in his kingdom. And he wants us to do that according to our abilities. Now, part of the reason I want to focus more on abilities than talents is we sometimes get distracted and we start focusing on the big things. How can we serve God with those out there fancy things that we can do? And so we fall in this danger of thinking something like, well, you know, if I could preach, then I would serve the kingdom, but I can't preach, so I'm not going to do that. Or if I could play guitar like Andrew Parker, I would, you know, be out there serving the kingdom, but I can't do that, so I'm not going to serve the kingdom. I think we can fall into that danger. And certainly with more other things that are going on, we look at other people and kind of can be in envy of them, thinking, well, of course they can serve the kingdom. They've got more time than I do, or they've got more skills than I do. But here we see these guys are just asked to serve according to their ability, to invest according to their ability. And when we start thinking about what are our abilities, the list is quite broader than when we're thinking about what are our talents. And we can see that there's things we can do that are abilities of ours that we might not rank as talents, but we can use to serve God. For example, I don't know if you got to it last week, but over there in the corner, there was a setup that talked about five fish. Okay, the information will be there again tonight. Now, what that is, it's actually a phone app that has the message of the gospel in different languages. So if you have the ability to turn on a phone and type in a web address, then you have the ability to share the gospel in many, many different languages. Great. And how many languages are on there, do you know? That's a few. You've got a bit of ability there. Yeah, so if you have a phone, and if you can turn that phone on, then you have opportunity, ability, to invest in the kingdom. There's other things that we do. If we're just thinking around the church here, there's things we do that are investing in the kingdom that require just little bits of help. If you can type on a computer, then our office is run by a lot of volunteers. We have an office manager, but we have volunteers there. And there might be a place where you can invest in the kingdom through a simple task of typing. If you can, you know, stand at the door over there and do this, have to have this and this. If you can't do both, you can't be on that team. But if you can do both those things, you can be part of investing in the kingdom. If you can help set up or pack up. We've actually been fairly deliberate in this series in raising the level of preparation that's involved in the service. As we considered how to think about worship as service, we thought then this is probably an opportunity where we go give more opportunity for people to serve. And certainly we've seen that, and I'm very thankful to those many of you that have come along early to help set up. In the first week, it was just kind of this stuff. We kind of scaled it up every week, threw up a tent, and it's slow. You wait till you see next week. Actually, no, the tent's going away. Next week's going to be a little bit less. Over time, we've seen people help pack up as well. I don't know if you realize how significant that is. About a month ago, Andrew, Court, and I packed up a lot of church by ourselves. It took a very long time, right? Last week, we had heaps more in here, and it went down quite quickly and set up for a funeral the next day. And so there's opportunity to serve with abilities, not just talents. And so I encourage you to think about, where can I serve? And I encourage you to think about deliberate strategic ministries that you can be involved in. And certainly again tonight, we have a ministry fair over there to go over there and spend some time looking at some examples of ministries that are run that are connected to our community here. And maybe you know of other ministries you can be involved in, but they're an example to think about how are we serving as part of this series. Something else we have the ability to do is we actually have the ability to learn. So often when we think about talents, they're things we've already learnt. But the truth is we have the ability to learn new things. And if we're going to continue to push ourselves to serve God in lots of different ways, then there might be things we need to learn. And as a church, we want to be a church that's helping to train people and resource people to serve in the kingdom. Okay, let's move on. Verse 22. The man with two bags of gold came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with two bags of gold. See, I have gained two more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The thing I want to look at there is just simply the fact that the second servant actually gets the same reward as the first servant. The issue here is not the amount that they have brought back. The issue here is their obedience. They have served the master, they have done what he wanted, and they are rewarded. Okay, last servant. Verse 24. Then the man who had received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. So he doesn't lose anything, he doesn't gain anything, he just brings it back. The master says in verse 26, his master replied, you wicked servant, you wicked lazy servants. So you knew that I harvested where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the other one that has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they who will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't know what you think when you read that. My reaction many times when I've read that is how incredibly harsh the master's response appears at first sight. I mean, this guy hasn't lost any money. I felt like he could have invested it and lost the investment. At least he didn't do that. But there's two things we can pick up in this story. The first one is the servant clearly knew what his master wanted because he says it. He says, I know that you harvest where you haven't sown. He says, I know that you're growing your field so much that you're getting new ones that have already been planted. That's how you want to invest and grow. He knows what the master wants. He knows the master's after investment. But the second thing is he actually wastes the master's time. Let me use this example. If you went to work, and your boss said, I'm going to pay you $300 to man the shop today. Okay, that's your job. If after the boss left, you closed the door, locked up, went in the back room and read a magazine for the whole day, and when the boss comes back and says, what happened? You say, wasn't worth it, here's your $300 back. Is the boss going to be happy that he got his $300 back? He's not, because he actually invested in you, right? He has lost more than just the $300. Getting that back isn't what he's after. There's been an investment. There's been an arrangement. The same thing is true with this servant. He is the master's servant. He has a job to do. He's been given $100,000 to do that job. He's been given opportunity to invest. What has he been doing? I mean, how long did it take him to dig the hole, bury the money? How long has the master been away for? This guy has overworked his Xbox calluses. Our master's come back and he's got nothing to show for his time. That's why the master acts the way he does, because the servant has been outright disobedient. We know that God wants us to invest in his kingdom. We know that God gives us opportunities to invest in his kingdom. What happens if Jesus comes back, or your life ends, you're talking to him and he says, what did you do with those opportunities I gave you? What did you do when people at your work were talking about things they believe? And if you respond and say, well, I can tell you what I didn't do. I didn't say something stupid to lead people away from you. Isn't that the same as being like this third servant and doing nothing? If he says, what did you do with that opportunity when you had that lunchtime group at your school? And you say, well, I can tell you what I didn't do. I didn't act like a hypocrite and go. Isn't that being like the third servant? He says, what did you do with that opportunity you had to serve on Tuesday nights? Well, I didn't do anything sinful in that time. I was just not doing anything. What did you do when you gave you that opportunity to go and do that mission trip? Well, I never said I would, so no one's going to be disappointed. Everyone's happy. Isn't that being the same as this third servant? Jesus is clear here that there's a responsibility to take up the opportunities that he's given us. Jesus is saying a time is coming when the opportunities will end. That's the reality of it. What are we going to do now while we have them? We want to be a church that is passionate about worshiping God through serving him, building up his kingdom, investing in his kingdom. We want to be a church that increases our opportunity to invest through deliberate strategic decisions in ministry. What am I talking about when I say deliberate strategic decisions? Well, first thing I want to say is we want to consider the opportunities. When opportunities come along, we want to consider them. We want to consider where we can be most effective, either because it's the greatest need or we have the greatest level of skill in that area. Okay, so when opportunity comes along, we can consider, is this something that I need to prioritize because there's a really high need for it? Or should I prioritize it because I'm also good at it and I can be effective there? Part of being strategic in our decisions is also about thinking long term. How can I be effective for a long time? That means not just signing up for every opportunity that comes along and not thinking it through, but actually being strategic in our decisions to make sure that we can last for the long haul in ministry. And so part of what we talked about last week as we went over there and looked at the ministry fair is to think about, is God calling you to a ministry? Is God calling you to deliberately set aside some time to use your abilities to worship God through serving him? Where are you being called to serve? We're going to do something a little bit different to kind of finish up here. We're going to pass out some surveys. What we've done is we've put together a list of kind of categories of opportunities to serve. So I'm going to get those handed out now. They'll come around. We'll also send around some pens. Now, this is for you to think through a little bit more where you might have abilities and opportunities to serve. This isn't a sign up for ministries now form, and if you tick a box, then we'll commit you to it and ring you when you don't show up next Wednesday. This is about thinking through what is it for you. So we're going to collect these at the end, and we are going to think about, we want as a ministry team to think about what kind of skills and things people are interested in our church, people are interested in serving or feel like they're skilled in serving. But we also want you to think about that for yourself. Okay, I'm going to invite Dan up here. Dan helped me. Dan worked through this survey for us. So I'm going to get him up here to help explain some of the categories, if he can. Okay.
All right.
So I don't know how you're going. Keep going. If you're on the roll and you work out what you're doing, that's fine. But Dan, talk to us about what this first section of being passionate in ministry. Do you have thoughts on?
So passion is, I guess, something you want to see happening in church, what you really like about what happens both church here and outside here, what you want to see grow, how you think that is effective in ministry. I think it's something that, yeah, you really like seeing work. So, for example, for me, I'm really passionate about children's ministry. I really love it, and I like to see it grow. I try and enhance it. So that's what the first section is.
Okay, so if you're passionate about constructing building, you'll be building our new ministry centre, is that?
Yeah, exactly. No, not really. I don't know how that's going to work, but I guess what we're looking at is stuff like what we see behind us, building these pallet things, constructing them, nailing them together, also at the back there.
All these steps and risers were built by people in our church.
That's true, they were, yeah. So stuff like that, just stagecraft. It could be even things that need fixing around church.
There's a few of those.
Yeah. I know a fuse cupboard was built. So
It wasn't finished, so if you put your name down. Just kidding. Hospitality. What is hospitality?
Hospitality is kind of like, I'm not very good at this. This is something I'm not very good at. But it's kind of like looking after people, being able to, I guess, having that mindset of how can we make people feel at home, comfortable, stuff like, you know, having food. How can we make, I guess, 6 p.m. more comfortable, so something like the hot hocho moment, that's hospitality.
But I think you want to be careful. I used to think hospitality was like you have to be a good cook, but I think that's only part, like that's a way of being hospitable.
Exactly.
Cool. What about help aid?
So help aid is kind of like having the time to, I guess, give your time to helping people out. That is quite broad, and it's there because it is a broad spectrum. You can help in many ways, help someone that's struggling here at church that might need extra assistance. It could be helping the community in a way. I know we have various community events that happen during the week, and you can help in there as well.
Okay. I think we do things like cook food that gets frozen to help people that need it. What about discernment? What's discernment?
That's, I guess, wisdom, and that's trying to, I guess, judging what is right. I guess that can be used for leading groups and stuff like that. So leading life groups, leading Bible studies, stuff like that.
Cool. Okay. Right. We might give people a little bit longer to work through them. And we'll round things up.
Yeah. Also, if you feel like you're thinking of something but it doesn't quite fit in those categories, just write in others. don't feel like you have to circle something. Just write it if you feel like it doesn't quite describe
what trampoline jumping.
Yeah.
Juggling.
That kind of stuff.
Juggle for Jesus. New ministry.
Campaign.
All right. If you're still finishing up, that's fine. But I'm just going to round up this time with praying. And then what we're going to do is I'll get you to put the surveys on the little round white table there as you walk past. We're going to spend the next while, so we're going to get the hot chocolate and supper going. But we're going to fire up the ministry fair on the other side of this wall. So I encourage you, like last week a little bit, to think about what ministries is God calling me to. Is there a place for me to rethink my strategic decisions in ministry? Is there a place for me to sign up for ministries I don't currently do? And chat to the guys over there. So the question to ask them is, tell me about your ministry. Also an opportunity to share with them what they've been doing. Encourage them. And we want to encourage the people who are doing ministry in our church. So I'm going to finish by praying, and then you are free to move over that side of the room. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you have died for us, that we can serve you. We pray, Lord, for the privilege that it is. Lord, we pray as we consider and try to use your wisdom in knowing what decisions, what ministries to serve you in. As we try to open our eyes to the opportunities that are around us, we pray that you help us with that, that you give us wisdom. Pray these things in your name. Amen. All right, that's the end of the formal part. Go and on the table on the way past. Yeah.
Overrated, running from myself. sold this guitar and a piece of my heart for you. Would you hop on a bus and leave just because? Would you? I used to be somebody else. I'm holding out for a good reason. The people around me, they all seem to tell me that I tend to change like the seasons. I used to be somebody else. I'm holding out for a good reason. The people around me, they all seem to tell me that I tend to change like the seasons. I used to be somebody else. I used to be somebody else. I used to be somebody
to the ground in the presence.
and you look at the mom and a kid who is right by your side. He feels great as he takes all the jokes you created. I'll steal them with all of your lines. Everybody thinks he's the greatest. You know he's just a fraud. He makes you so frustrated. Don't wait till he gets caught. Now, taking all your words, going through the motions, sipping never learned. And now he's just a mirror that you see, without causing commotion, just on me. Almost threw up from the way that he hits on your girl. From the sink, take a drink, cause there's nothing left to bring. Bro, you know that it's already brought.